are live with another episode of Mini Live.
What up?
Dang, I keep forgetting to try the media board again.
Oh, come on, Mike. Our listeners are begging for this soundboard.
You think so?
Yeah, I reckon so. I think they're fed up of hearing us doing it.
Well, I think we can give them a little something.
Let's do it.
Did that even play the whole thing? It's like...
I got like the last... There we
what
go.
The... Ay. Anyways, I don't know if that worked. Whatever. Come on.
It's gonna be one of those, isn't it?
You know what works every single time? My voice going wah, 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 wah.
Yeah, apart from those off days when you've had a little bit too much to drink the night before and you're like
little brown bottle flu.
Hey, that's me today, man.
I've been good. I haven't been drinking too much adult beverages lately. I've been cutting back, maybe one here or there. I had one last night in celebration of replacing my head gasket.
Whoop.
I don't think we've talked about this on the podcast.
No, I think the only place it's been posted is Instagram, and even then that has been like the tiniest of little teasers ever.
Yeah, and it's not like I'm trying to hold anything back. It's just like when it's something that's like kind of you're chasing things, it's like what am I posting about? So I'm not trying to like hide the fact that my car is leaking. I'll give you a little backstory. Because we got the gearbox done, I plopped it in, got everything done, had all those issues. Remember, I broke the
You broke the bearing
first.
Didn't you?
The first motion bearing.
Yeah.
I forget what it was. First motion, something. Yeah, not the Eider. I think it's first motion. Anyways, I got it all in. Boom, bingo, bango, bongo. Got it going. Everything was good. Driving, loving life, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, just trip, trip. I came out. I was like, "Why? Where is this oil coming from? Like, what the heck?" And naturally, it looked like it was coming from the timing cover gasket.
Yeah, I remember you saying
which was replaced I don't know how many years ago now, but not that long ago, when I rebuilt the engine, 2022 or 2023. What year? 2020.
We're 2024, Mike.
2022. I don't know. 2022. Whatever.
What year is it?
It's not that old, let's be real. And it never leaked before. Nothing leaked after my rebuild, miraculously, knock on wood. So I was like, fine. But, you know, shit happens, right?
Yeah, so it's a mini.
I freaked out, you know, and threw
a hissy fit. Wait. Just for our listeners, because Mike is glazing over this. When he says he's freaked out, my God, did he freak out?
I freaked out.
The messages I got from you that day. In fact, mate. No. The lack of messages I got from you from that day. That's when I was like, oh, this is bad.
Spiraled down a deep dark hole. Listen, I've said it before. You know, the Mini, it's not that I'm depressed, but the Mini is an outlet for me. You work from home. I never leave. It's an expression, it's a feeling, it's whatever, just dry. It's not even, getting in my modern car, which I share with my wife. So that's, again, that's why I can't just leave, you know, she's at work right now. I can't just leave and go anywhere unless I'm walking, which is, I do, you know, the Mini has always been that for me. It's when I'm working on it, when I'm driving it, there's no music in there. It's, you know, very engaging in terms of I have to shift, there's no power steering, right? Like, it's all very you're locked in.
Yeah, and that's how it should be.
It's how it should be, but it's also very visceral. The windows down, I'm driving, you know, it's an escape, right?
Yeah. Or
if the, I don't know if that's the right word, but anyways. And after, you know, we'll get to it in a second in this episode, finishing up the Overcrest rally. After that whole experience, it basically was off the road for a full damn year. I was dealing with gearbox things and trying to even get the parts and yada, 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 yada. So I'm just fed up with it, right? I got the gearbox, got the motivation, which was, that's a whole nother podcast, dealing with motivation and trying to get back in the garage. I know you're dealing with it. It's difficult, right?
It is. It really is.
It's difficult to get back out there after a long hiatus and start turning wrenches again and doing stuff. So I just forced myself out there and I got some momentum again, right?
Then yeah, boom. You've got to force yourself to do it. That's the thing.
You have to. It's just a force. You just have to do it. And then the, you know, the motivation will come back, the love will come back. And I forced myself back out there. I was on a roll and then boom, I broke that bearing. And it was like, fuck, like, well, okay, fine. I can fix it. It's just like frustrating, right? You know, we just want to be done with it. I wasn't rushing anything. It just, you know, some things were misaligned slightly. So I got, you know, fixed it, right? Learning curves.
Yeah. Experience.
Yeah, exactly. Learning experience, you know, mental notes of what to do better next time. And, you know, I got it back in. I don't think there was any more snags after that, but I got it back in, got everything back together, felt good, blah, 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 blah. And within like a week, this, you know, this, and it wasn't just like a little bit. Right, because I could probably live with a little bit. I wouldn't like it. It would really annoy me every single time I drove it, like knowing that there could be some oil dripping somewhere.
But it wouldn't stop you from driving it.
This leak wouldn't stop me from driving now. Like it's not like just dumping oil everywhere. But it was a significant amount that it would be topping up frequently, right? It was a significant amount that I would have to clean it every single time because it would drip. It was flying onto the CV axle boot, whatever there, and fling it. You know, it was just everywhere.
Just a mess.
Yeah, it was a mess. So initially I thought it was the gearbox and I was like, no. Just, you know,
not
just,
again, yeah.
And yeah, seriously. So anyways, I like looked everywhere. There's, you know, oil quite a bit of places. So I, you know, did some tests, figured, I was like, I just came to the conclusion that it was probably the timing cover gasket. And that is possible to do in the car while the engine's in the car, but it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
You know, obviously everything's easy on the Mini, but it's like not easy on the Mini, right? Like,
yeah, you need like the hands of a 7-year-old and the strength of a 30-year-old.
It's a good thing I have both of those. But so luckily I actually had, I keep spare gaskets usually because, you know, they're cheap enough.
Yeah,
and I had the gasket and I had everything. So one day I just, you know, one weekend rather, I tackled it, drained the coolant, pulled out the radiator, did the whole song and dance there. And to get the crank pulley bolt off, you have to undo the engine mounts and slightly jack up the engine to get the socket. And it was just, you know, so.
It's a faff. Went,
yes, it's a major faff. That's my favorite new word. It was faffing, faffful, full. But it actually went really smooth, knock on wood. Like the whole teardown thing went smooth. I got it done, sealed everything up. I did the water pump gasket while I was in there. And just double checked everything, cleaned everything up. Timing gears look real nice still. So, like, you know, I was getting that confidence back again. Bolt it all up, go for, you know, a victory celebration beer to the brewery that's like, you know, a few miles down the road from me. And I had, you know, all cocky, backed it in on the front row so I can like look at it while I'm sitting out on the patio. And I think I sent Sean a video of this. I was sitting there. I got my beer. I can set back down. And is that the oil dripping? And I just like zoomed in this video of the oil dripping. I'm like, oh no.
But, dude, when you sent me that, I was sitting there. I was just like, oh, I don't even know how to reply back to you for this. I feel so bad for you.
Son of a
victory
bee,
beer
dude.
Is now tasting sour as anything.
No, I didn't even enjoy it. And I was so excited too, because it was like their, I forget what anniversary, it was like their anniversary party, and it was a brand new beer, and it was delicious. Oh. It's like one of my favorite places to go. It's really close, so I can just rip over with the mini, park outside. It's beautiful. And I was like, damn it, I just like freaking finished the beer and sulked on the way home. But, you know, I tried to like investigate. I'm like, all right, clearly it's not the timing cover gasket. Well, at first I was like, all right, maybe it still is. But I just, at the point though, it was coming down the back of the block and I thought it was the CV joint. I'm really extending this story, but I thought it was somehow like blowing onto the axle and just flinging it back up onto the block. And then after, the more I thought about like how high it got, I was like, it's got to be coming from somewhere up there. So after talking with a few people, I think what we came to the conclusion was the head gasket in that corner has the oil feed to the head, and potentially it got too hot and it's seeping out of there, coming down the block, dripping, blowing onto the whole thing. And that's why it was on the timing cover. So,
yeah, because if you haven't got high, you know, water temps or, you know, anything like that, then you're not going to suspect a gasket like that really to begin with, are you?
Yeah. So the kind of quick backstory on that is my car is a A+, so it doesn't have that little like bypass from the head to the water pump, the little tube thing.
Yeah.
And it had like this sandwich plate under the thermostat housing that went, you know, into the hose, which is kind of like a bypass, I guess.
Yeah.
That was like pretty old and a little corroded. And I eventually just took that out. I don't have a heater. And I did drill a hole, but I think I drilled too small of a hole in the thermostat itself to allow some flow. So my cooling system's cools really nice, but I think it was a little too simplified. Like I have just the heater delete hose in the back, so it's just one hose from the water pump to the radiator, the bottom hose there, and then at the top one, right? And I did take it on a rip before this leak happened, and it didn't overheat, but it got hot. And looking back, I kind of just stopped at the top of the canyon instead of maybe probably should have done a little like cool down lap, if you will.
Yeah. Get the water going around the system and just, yeah.
Yeah. It didn't like continue to rise when it got up there, but it was hot. Not like terribly hot, but that might've done it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going uphill, it will fluctuate and it will rise in a mini anyway.
Yeah, and this is a steep hill too. It's not like a dinky one. So I was talking to, you know, one of the experts that hopefully we will have on one day. But I was always told like, oh, get the BK450 head gasket. I think that's the number. It's good. It's got the little shellac on it. And I didn't realize though that there's also I don't know if it's better, but it's the last kind of one from Rover, maybe called the AK470, I think.
Okay, yeah.
And it's kind of the same thing as the BK450, but around that oil feed, it has like a little like kind of rubber gasket or something around there that's like it's uprated, basically. So he said, yeah, you should probably need that one. Drill a quarter inch hole in your thermostat. So basically that's what I did yesterday. And double checked the head, it's nice and flat. Everything was good. I didn't see any like failures around the gasket. Put it all back together. You know, like I said, the head seemed flat. Everything was good. Cleaned it up. I didn't see any real failures anywhere. But you know, I don't know. It could have been seeping out from there, just you know, based off that little bit of a overheat.
Yeah,
if you want
I mean,
to call
hopefully,
it that.
Hopefully, now that you've replaced a lot of the gaskets, everything should be all right by now. Hopefully, I mean, if it's not leaking in the garage, since you've been out and driven it, you should be golden.
Yeah, so I fired it up, and you know, this could be one of those rabbit holes of what kind of dash pot oil do you use, but I didn't have any coolant in it, just oil, obviously. Fired it up a minute, maybe, just until the head kind of gets a little warm to the touch, and turn it off. And that kind of is supposed to help seal the gasket, the head gasket, and not have any, you know, liquid water that can seep out easily. So I did that, let it cool. And then I, you know, tinkered on some shit while it was cooling. Everything was good. It was really, it was actually a really, I want to say cool day yesterday. So that kind of cooled down pretty fast. Double checked everything. I added just distilled water, fired it up again. After all of that, let it, you know, kind of the coolant system burp itself a little bit. And no leaks, no oil, no water, thank God, because that's always my number one fear after a head gasket, is that it's going seeping water out. And I let it idle for quite a while, just sitting there idling. I would rev it, give it, you know, give it some beans, got it up to temperature. It was at temperature for quite a while, and nothing, no leaks anywhere. I don't see anything. So I took it out for a little test spin, and I, not terribly far, but I ran it through its paces, different rev ranges, kind of took it down a longer stretch of road. So I was kind of cruising for a bit, and I took it basically around the block, but like the long way around the block a couple times. Yeah, not just in the neighborhood, like the city block, if you will. And, you know, so stoplights, full RPMs, mid RPMs, cruising on the streets, all of that. And I brought it back home, and I didn't, still nothing. No, I let it idle again, still no leaks. So I haven't been out there today after it's cooled to see if there could be a puddle under the car right now, and I have no idea.
There won't be, man. Positive thinking. It will all be fine.
I was in a really good mood yesterday doing it. It was not a job I wanted to do, but I got it done pretty quick, you know, and took my time and got it done quick, I think, in terms of work. Right. And I attention to detail, cleaned a bunch of stuff up, and made sure it all, you know, was nice and tidy. So, so hopefully, knock on wood, fingers crossed. The only thing I do want to fix is I think there's a slight exhaust leak on those damn slip pipes. They're annoying. Yeah. If anyone has a good remedy for the slip pipe to prevent exhaust leaks, like they're tight as shit and they're on there pretty good, and I just feel like it's not like crazy, but it just feels like a little bit, and I used to use some of that like exhaust, like,
I like that.
I don't know what it's called. It's like
stuff.
The RTV. Yeah, it's like coppery color. You know, it's made for exhaust slip joints, I think. But I didn't have any, or the stuff I had was old. So, All the other slip joints on the exhaust I've made into like flanges, and those are bulletproof. But that, like, from the exhaust manifold into that Y pipe, That's just
it really
such
is.
A pain in the butt.
It
such
really
a faff.
Is. Doesn't matter if you're above the car or under the car, it's still a nightmare regardless.
Yeah, it's such a faff that is. But anyways, that's what was going on with me, and yeah. So the whole point of that wasn't it? I was basically saying when that oil leak came up, how pissed I was because, you know, just chasing something like that. Like I just want to drive it. Damn, I don't want to be doing these jobs anymore. And everyone's probably like, oh, well, that's a mini. But bro, I've not like I don't have those issues with mini. Knock on wood. Our boy, Max. Mr. Max, 20 Max, right? He daily drives that bitch, and he always says, you know, maintenance is key, and, you know, I take good care of my car. I've never had leaks like that before, even when I drove the shit out of it with a spun bearing. And again, I'm backtracking. I didn't spin the bearing. It was like that when I bought it because neglect from the previous owner, whoever you were. But I drove it and, you know, it had a little bit of a knock, but it ran great. The engine was fantastic. And when I rebuilt it, no oil leaks, no nothing, yada, yada, yada. Obviously, I fixed shit throughout the years, but that's why it pissed me off, because like I've never had these issues before. But it's one of those... It's one of those things, you touch something and then everything
Mate,
else starts
I know
to
that
break, right?
All too well at the moment. I am so fed up of mine. I'm done.
Is it sold or set on fire yet?
It's really not. No, I mean, because I'm getting it ready for paint at the moment. I just stripped the back end down so I can get that ready for priming and whatnot. And I started stripping the boot out, and the boot floor has always been good in that. Like really good. I took the tank out, took the rear lights out, and I've just walked away. But as I've walked away, I've noticed at the corner of my eye, I can see some light coming from down below. And I was like, oh no, don't say it is. Picked up a screwdriver, had a little poke. I've got like four holes in the boot floor. And I was just like, oh.
You never poke it. You just don't poke it. You just spray it with some like primer, maybe
Bondo.
A little. Nope. Yeah, no Bondo. You don't poke.
So yeah, hindsight's a wonderful thing. But yeah, it is what it is. I mean, it's 86, so it's a mini. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I feel you. It's just one of those things. Like you poke around, you find stuff, but that's what I was saying. It's like mine obviously had stuff, but like all these issues happened when I pulled the engine and I started trying to fix other things, and it spirals, you know, like it just, they want to be driven, because when it's driven, it's great. And it acts well. But once it's off the road, things start to break. Gaskets wear out or get old, and that's why I thought it was the gasket. You know, you never know. They want to be driven. You know, I've had my fair share of issues, but it was never because I was driving it. That's the thing. You know, and I'll finish the issues in the gearbox issue. This, it wasn't because I was driving it. It was because I changed.
That's
shit.
The thing. There's always an unwritten rule of if it's working or if it's not broken, don't touch it.
100%. Sometimes it's a tricky one because for my gearbox, why I think it went out is because the master cylinder wasn't up to par, but my previous master cylinder wasn't bad. I just changed it because I changed the brake one, which was leaky, but it still worked. I just didn't want brake fluid everywhere. But right, like, and that caused a whole issue because that new master cylinder that I put in wasn't as good as my old one, and it wasn't engaging the clutch good enough and the brake, you know. So it was just
it spirals out of control real quick when it's like that.
I might just be extra positive. Maybe things are breaking because I'm using it. But in my opinion, I don't think I like my clutch didn't go out, or excuse me, my gearbox didn't go out because I was driving it hard. It was because I changed something that made it F up. That's my stance, and I'm holding to it.
I don't think you're the only one on that stance, because a lot of race drivers, what is it they say? Your car's only as good as its weakest point.
I'm its weakest point.
Yeah, I think that makes two of us.
I'm literally the only thing that has messed up this car.
Oh, man.
But anyways, hopefully it's good. It drives, honestly, it runs and drives really well. So if I sort the oil issue, man, oh, it feels good, dude. I forgot how good the engine feels. And our boy Ricky No from No Limits let me borrow his color tune, so I'm gonna recheck the nice mixture and the timing and all that. It just feels good, runs good, idles good, everything. It feels
yeah,
nice and buttery.
That's what we want. I'm so you like, know I said about mine will be done for August. I don't think it's gonna happen. Mm-hmm. I think I might have been a bit too ambitious there.
August of 2026.
More like 2030, maybe?
Ooh, well, by then we won't be able to drive combustion engines,
I know, right?
So you better hurry it up, buddy. You're going to have to be doing one of those electric conversions on your car.
Don't,
let's
please
not
don't.
Even go down
I don't
hole.
Want to be disappointed anymore. But the good news is, the head is off, and it's actually making progress. So hopefully.
There we go. See?
It
progress
is
key.
Like we said,
progress
you got to force yourself.
You got to just keep, you got to force yourself. You got to get out there and do it. And once you do a little something, you're going to feel good about it. Obviously, if something goes wrong, you might freak out a little bit. I'm trying to be better. We had a long talk off air.
Yeah.
We're human. Just, you know, things in our personal life and creeps in. And then it's like, you know, like I said, the minis with outlet. And then it just, you know, shits on you a little bit. So I'm being positive. Things are going to turn around. The engine is going to keep the oil inside of it.
Realistically.
And
Mike and I are crying on the inside. We are screaming.
No, I'm good. I'm good, dude. I'm ready and good. And my goal is to be back on this Overcrest rally this year in the fall. I think it's fall. So that's my goal.
It's a good goal. I hope it works out. I really do, because I want to see you on it again.
Yeah, you know, and now that I've done one and I have a little more time to prep, make sure it's all good and dandy, get everything nice and sorted, and should be good to go. So not having to fight the brake in clutch issues on the way the whole time would be fantastic, and just cruise and enjoy myself.
Speaking of Overcrest Rally, I want to know the rest of the story, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners do as well, because it has been a while. You have dangled the carrot on this one.
Yeah. I'll give a little recap. All right. We drove out there. I was having brake issues because I was slapping that engine back together. I did a rebuild. And like I said just previously, when you touch things and you try to change things or fix things that aren't broken, things break more. So I had a, you know, my brake master was going out, so I had to switch it at the last minute. And so I was dealing with brakes releasing, rather kind of locking up,
almost
not
like
locking,
a sticky brake,
but like
pressure
was still on the brakes, so I would have to be gentle with the brakes. They worked really well, but gentle with the brakes, and if they kind of locked up, I would have to get out and crack the bleeder, and it released the pressure. So now I know what the problem was. The proper gaskets weren't on there. Again, previous owner thing, but you know, yeah, you're learning, right? You only exactly know what you know, right? You don't know what you don't know. So now I know what was the issue. But anyways, I was dealing with this whole issue the whole trip. And also I had switched the clutch master, like I said, because I switched the brake, blah blah blah, and it just wasn't good. I don't know. It just wasn't allowing the clutch to release, and it was effing up my synchro. So second gear was very difficult. First gear was very difficult to get into. So that's kind of the backstory that we've done. I've went through, did this whole rally, blah, 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 blah. I think we ended on the yes end of the rally. But on the way home, which is the last part of this story, was also very good because the end of the rally was in Idaho, Western Idaho, Northwest Idaho, kind of where I went to grad school, was not too far away, University of Idaho. So that was kind of cool. I knew the area a little bit. Obviously I didn't have time to go my old stomping grounds, but, no, it was cool to be up there. No. Yeah. No, I'm not into that stuff.
So how far away is Idaho from
but,
you?
About, let's look. I think we looked, it was like 1500 miles.
What we said it was, yeah. Rings a bell.
I'm just going to type in a landmark up there that I know and see what it says.
Because like I recently found out that Americans measure distance by time, whereas us in the UK, we measure it by miles.
From where I am right now, if you just did a straight shot to where mm-hmm I kind of was, which was not the route I took, but just a straight shot is 1,100 jeez miles.
That's quite a distance.
Yeah. So it was quite a ways away from home. And to your point, the miles versus time thing, and I haven't lived everywhere in the world, but there's certain places in the United States that you generally use time because of high traffic area. I would assume England's the same way. You're in a small island and it's very clustered. So if you're going 30 miles, it might take you 2 hours yeah because of traffic, oh, right? Okay. Like there's different times of the day, right? Yeah. So that's where it like, so where I live in Southern California, if I'm driving over to LA, Sean is always asking me, hey, how far are you from this? How far are you, like these famous landmarks in SoCal? Well, you know, on a good day, it's, you know, an hour, but it could easily take 3 hours because that's LA it traffic, right? So, but like on this journey, I wouldn't say it would take, well, I guess I probably would because time is more valuable than however many miles it is, but I did count, you know, like if you're in a place in the middle of nowhere, Idaho, that's 15 miles away, just, oh, it's 15 miles. Like that tracks easily. But, you know, in LA, it's 15 miles is not 15 miles in the rural, that's, you know,
like
so
a
that's 50 why
minute drive instead of 20 minutes tops. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I used to live in Hawaii, which is a very small island. And yeah, you do not talk about mileage because it's irrelevant no matter what time of day. It's strictly time. So on the way back, on the way there, I had everything kind of scheduled out. Day one, this is where my lodging was. Day two, this is where, you know, and then on the rally itself. On the way home, I had nothing. Zero. No plans. Not at all.
Oh, man.
Winging it. And I had an idea because I wanted to go. So for people that don't know the United States, Idaho is, that area is called the Pacific Northwest. Okay. So it's northwest of the state, of the country. Okay. Idaho is one state yeah in. The next one over is Washington. They border each other. Washington is on the coast. And then it goes Washington, Oregon,
damn,
California.
You were quite far up then.
Okay. Like, whoop. Yeah. And California is really long, too. So Washington, Oregon, California, my home, right? Like, it goes. So I was pretty far up. I was close, you know, closer to Canada than home. And that's never a good thing. No, I'm just kidding. I love you. I love you, Canadians. I love my Canadians. I'm just kidding.
Hey.
Sorry, eh? I'm just kidding. But on the way home, I was like, you know, I have friends, family, acquaintances, whatever, in Washington, Oregon, Northern California. So I was like, might as well try to like link up with them on the way home and just take the coast all the way back. And so I was just driving and, you know, kind of calling people and with a headset on, not, you know, I was being safe. Yeah. And actually, I have a distant relative, you know, from my grandmother's side that actually lives in Washington. And one of my good. Yeah. Yeah. So, my dad got us linked up and I was able to stay at their house the first night. But, you know, so driving through the roads over to the Washington coast area was amazing. So that was kind of cool. I was able to crash on their couch and it was really funny. I played lacrosse in a lot of my life. I grew up playing lacrosse and I played in college at a pretty high level. And that's what a lot of people know me for. It's either like lacrosse, weightlifting, which I was also a competitive weightlifter for a while, different lives, or minis, right? I've always loved minis. So those are like the three things, you know, people associate
with Mr. things. Olympian.
Yeah. And he associates me with lacrosse. So, and I haven't played in quite a long time due to injuries and things like that. And it was hilarious. We get there and he's like, oh, here's a stick. Let's go. We're going out to the field to meet the boys. And I was like, oh, shit. I just, you know, I'm dragging ass from driving.
Petrol and oil.
Miles. Days. Humping it across the country, right? And needless to say, I still got it. You know, I kicked those boys' ass. It was fun. It was fun, though. I was out on the field, and then he had me give, like, this speech of how to get into a Division I school. I was like, oh, dude, that was, like, 20 years ago, bro.
Times have changed.
Oh, shit. It was fun. It was good to, you know, so, again, this whole trip is just experiences. Doing things like that and, you know, meeting some family that is close, like, right? Like, Washington's not far in terms of the world, but how often do you know what I mean? Like, it was cool, you know? So I was glad I got to do that and experience that. And next morning, I, you know, woke up like, where am I going now? I have no idea. And I think I was just driving and had to go through Oregon and beautiful, beautiful state. I was bummed last year, 2023, the Overcrest Rally was in Oregon, and it looked so good, man. Oregon, we just got finished watching 1883 on whatever streaming service that is. If you guys have not watched that, it was really good, and it was about Americans kind of settling the country, and they're going across from Texas to Oregon, or they wanted to reach Oregon and Oregon Trail and all of that. If you ever played that game as a kid, right? But I know why they wanted to damn go well to Oregon, because it was so freaking beautiful, and it's amazing. And amazing old towns there, driving through by the river and all of this. So amazing state to be in. And I had no plan. I do have people in Oregon that I know, and they just weren't available at that time, unfortunately, which
kind of sucks. Yeah.
You know, whatever. It would have been cool to see them, obviously. So I was able to, I called my wife. she was like, just stop in. And we picked, what is it called? Crescent City, which is right after you get over the Oregon border to California. So it's like right on the cusp right of there. And it's right on the border. And like if you could just basically like walk 2 feet and you're in Oregon again, right? Like it's border city. And I was like, all right, cool. I just mapped it to Crescent City. I was like, I'll find a little motel there when I get there. And so I'm driving, just cruising, and beautiful roads. You know, you look at the map and you know, like when you're about to exit like a city or town, rather, there's no big cities that I drove through frequently, at least. Just by looking at the map, and it gets like squiggly like this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and you're like, oh, this is going to be good. But I didn't look hard at it, because I'm just, you know, on the road, just cruising, flying by the seat of my pants. And all of a sudden, I'm in these canyons, and all of a sudden, I like blink, and I'm in the Redwood Forest. And like I just got chills thinking about it, and that feeling is the feeling that you're chasing on a trip like this. And I like look up, and I was like, these massive redwood trees, massive. And if you guys follow the podcast, the picture of our our background and of the little icon, whatever,
the profile picture,
which are a little
profile
picture. There you go. That is of this moment.
Oh, no way.
Right? That is that's the Redwood Forest. And I was like, holy, I pulled out my phone and I was like videoing, because it's beautiful, and it just, they're so big. It blocks out the sun, but there's little peaks of light.
Like a photographer's wet dream, basically.
Oh my gosh. I got to keep going, but I want to stop. And it was just so beautiful. So beautiful, and an amazing moment. And I stopped a couple times, got some shots. Go ahead.
I don't know if a lot of the other UK guys have probably seen. They should have done. There's always this one famous image of like a massive redwood tree, like across the road, which has got like a cutout, like a square cutout with cars going under. Is that the same place?
It's very. I don't know if it's the same exact forest. There's the northern kind of California and, Oregon and things like that have a ton of redwood. So I'm not sure. I have been to an area in northern California that has giant redwoods as well. So I don't know if it's the same place, but it's the same tree, right? Like those ones that you can go stand in, like, and there's like a little house in there so giant. Yeah, same thing. Same thing. And that's why I got to park by one of these, because it's so big. And some of the ones that I just, there wasn't like a little pull off next to, were even bigger. And it's just, the picture doesn't even do it justice. Like these things are monstrous. So big. And it was just beautiful. And so like eerily quiet in there. It's like peaceful. So driving slow, had the windows down, and it gets cooler. One, because it's higher up in, you know, altitude, and
everything's shaded.
Everything's shaded, all that. But two, it's just higher up in the United States, further from the equator or whatever. But it was just, it was just beautiful in there. And it just was one of those moments for this trip that I'll never forget. And, I keep winding through the forest, and boop, right out into Crescent City. I'm like, son of a bitch, this is amazing. And I don't know the history of Crescent City, but it's like a port town kind of thing. So it kind of had like this, I don't know, like nautical vibe to it. Very, very small. Yeah. And I went to this cool little brewery right on the water, and the foghorn was blowing because it, super damn foggy out there. It was just cool vibes, man. Cool vibes. Found a little motel, whatever, yada yada yada. Again, and this kind of shows you how big the damn state is of California, how long it is. So I'm in California now, technically, right? And the next day I was like, all right, I'm going to drive to San Francisco, which is also Northern California. It took me a whole damn day to get there. It's a big, long state. And my good friend Jordan lives there. He was my roommate in college. And he's born and raised in San Francisco. And I was like, dude, I'm coming to San Francisco. And he's like, boom, on board. Like, he's one of those guys, like, let's go, come. Even if he wasn't there, he would like get me the code to his house.
Well, good man.
That's the type of guy he is. He's a good dude, really good dude. He's a car guy. He likes off-road kind of stuff. He's a pretty big time photographer. Like, if you type in Jordan Rosen photography, he does stuff in like Iceland all the time for companies like SOG dives and one of those kind of, a lot of stuff like that. He's like a real life Bear Grylls, you know.
Overcome,
he's like
and survive, super, yeah.
Dude, he's a cool. Yeah, he's a cool dude. The drive down was, you know, also amazing. Coastal vibes, Pacific Coast Highway, and all of that, and you know. So I'm getting close, and again, I like didn't think about it, but all of a sudden I was on the Golden Gate Bridge with Mini.
It's a shame there's nowhere to stop on that. You could have got a picture.
I know. I think I videoed it as I was going across. I was like, I'm on the Golden Gate Bridge. Like, I've driven the Golden Gate Bridge several times. My aunt and uncle live over in that general area as well. They weren't around at the time, I don't think. But anyways, and I hadn't seen Jordan in a long time. So, it was cool. And Jordan lives in this place called the Presidio, which is right at the base of the Golden Gate Bridge. Beautiful area. Or he used to live there. He's now not there anymore. But so it was super cool. I got to drive the streets of San Francisco, which was very stressful at the time when your brakes are locking up and your clutch isn't working great. But man, I ended up staying 2 days there, I think, because we just had a good time kicking it and hanging out. He has a little girl. Now he has two. But we were just hanging out, going around San Francisco. Again, just enjoying life.
Living
right?
in the moment.
Living, you never, you know, nope. Yeah, living in the moment. No plans, no nothing. So that was a great time. Again, one of those moments where like, whoa, shit, like Golden Gate Bridge, what the? We actually, backtracking, I said he's a photographer. Some of those pictures that you've seen on my Instagram, those black and white ones at the Golden Gate Bridge, were shot by him on film. We did a little photo shoot that one of those mornings, and man, it was a perfect day. Like, San Francisco is known for like being foggy and cold, and there's just enough in the air that it was kind of gloomy, but the Golden Gate was in the background. Yeah. Oh man, it was epic. So it was a good time there. And so I think the next day, you know, San Francisco for me is probably like in a normal car, 6-ish hours away. No, it's not. It definitely could rip up there in like I said, a normal car that I can probably drive, you know, 80 comfortably, and it'd be fine. But in the Mini, you know,
another story.
It's not a easy drive. Yeah, you know, I can cruise 65, 70,
screaming.
But it's difficult, right? Yeah. It's not screaming, but it's like, you know, there's no cruise control. Like, it's not built for comfort. Yeah. But I was like, you know, I'm sending it home. I'm not stopping somewhere in the middle of this. And so we just, damn, dude, we just sent it home a few days later after I visited with Jordan. And again, just such a beautiful drive. It's hard to explain to somebody like you or our listeners that haven't been to California. Like, California gets a lot of hate, you know, not to be political, but, you know, in terms of that kind of stuff, you know, it gets a lot of hate. But people moved west for a reason, because California, Oregon, Washington, they're beautiful. And there's a lot of parts of this state that are not San Francisco and are not LA. Not that LA and San Francisco are not pretty, but Central Coast California, Northern Coast, or just in general, Northern California is beautiful. And it's places that people have probably never been or never heard of. And driving down the coast, you know, a lot of it on Pacific Coast Highway and the 101, which run the whole stretch of the coast, really. Like, Pacific Coast Highway is literally, for the majority of it, like, on the coast. Cool. So driving that, yeah, it's amazing. It's beautiful. You're by the water. There's California is a really unique place. You can go to the mountains, especially Southern California, but I'm sure there's parts in Northern California as well. You can go to the mountains with a lake and ski, and then you can come back down and go surfing and all in the same day.
Like,
right?
Like, some of the photos you keep sending me, I'm just like, I am wasting my life in the UK with just gray skies. And I'm just like looking at your pictures and like, I don't know, you've driven like on the coastal road. I'm just like, damn, man, I'm missing out.
It's very unique. Yeah, it's just very unique. And it's very unique to the West, I think. So, you know, not to brush over the last part of my trip, which was basically just going home, but it's just beautiful, man. What else do you say about that? It's, you know, I stayed on the 101 majority of the time just because it was a little bit faster pace. And, just cruising that on the way home, it was a good kind of last little day, just enjoying it. But it was good to be home after a long, long trip like that. But so many good
just
memories.
Just letting it all soak in.
And I can't. Yeah. Yes. 100%. Being able to just kind of like lean back.
Yeah.
Cruise and take it all in. And that's what I mean by not having the mini kind of. I've lost that part because, you know, when you're at home, this is also my office, right? Like it's hard to turn off your business life, your work life, and being in the mini, in your mind's racing and this and that, and being able to go out. For me, you know, some people go for a run, some people go to a hike. You know, I go to the gym as well, but not having any distractions while driving is,
it's bliss.
You know, this is a great.
Definitely.
It's a great time to think, you know, about anything. So, and that's the wrap on the 2022 Overcrest Rally. I highly recommend you guys check that out. If you're in the United States, even if you're not and you want to fly over, man, it's amazing. They're about to do one right now. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to kind of, as you well know why, but they're doing like a redo. They did a Utah 1 year, and they're kind of doing a redux, if you will, a redo. And
hoping I can join you on one, man.
It's it would be cool. They do a co-pilot. You can co-pilot awesome. With me, which would be a really fun. Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe we'll do one day for Mini Life. So we'll see. Yeah, nothing like the open road. I would imagine driving on a driving. What I really want to do, and I think this would be up your alley, is Route 66 on the Mini.
That would be cool.
That would be freaking real cool.
Oh, let's do it. Let's organize it, man.
Route 66. For those that don't, I would assume everyone knows what Route 66 is, but we have a lot of countries that listen. Route 66 is just like this iconic highway that was built in the United States that basically like was like, I think it was nicknamed, I might be butchering it, but I think it was the nickname like Highway to the West or Highway to the something like that. And it was, again, I don't remember the exact, I think it ends in... Again, I don't know, start and end. One, it's like in Chicago to California, and it goes throughout a bunch of different states. And at the time, it was like the hub, right? There was all these restaurants and shops and motels, and everyone would travel it. Now, obviously, it's not the main hub anymore, and a lot of these towns are ghost towns. But a lot of iconic things are still there, and it would be really cool to see that kind of old school Americana, which I absolutely love, in a classic car. Like, I do not want to do Route 66 in a modern car. It needs to be in a classic car. I wonder how many minis have traveled the Route 66.
If we do it, then I might look at shipping my Mini out to do it with you and yours. That would be cool.
Now that.
That would be so would be much cool. fun.
Would be Let's super look into cool. it, man. Wow. Let's do it. Well, it starts, again, I don't know if starts or finishes. I don't remember which one it is, but in Santa Monica,
yeah.
It's not far. I've been to the starting line of it, and I've seen stretches of it. I wanted to, on the Overcrest Rally, like, take Route 66, like, for that portion, yeah. You know? And I was near it, but it's just, like, it needs, like, you to, like, map it out, because if you're, like, using Google Maps, it's not going to take you on Route 66. It's not even an option. Like, you have to, like, physically know and map it out, because it's, you know, like I said, not a road well-traveled, yeah. So.
Nah.
Well, that's the wrap on the Overcrest Rally. I hope you guys enjoyed that little series. I didn't mean to draw it out that long, but I ramble. Like, if I did that, that would have been a long podcast.
We'd still be here. No, it was good, man. It was good to have an insight into the actual rally as well. I know there's a few listeners on here that probably do listen or follow the Overcrest stuff. But for the people that don't, I think it's a good insight.
Yeah. No, it's super fun. Good guys over there. Hopefully we'll have Chris and Jake on sometime just to get their insight. They're car guys. They're not necessarily mini guys. Although I think Jake wants a mini. I sent him a few links. He likes them. Yeah, I think so.
We'll sway his decision.
But anyways, anything else going on?
Popped over to Bingley Hall, mini fair. Earlier on, late January, which was really good. Met a lot of our listeners and supporters, so thank you very much for those who did say hello. And it was a really good day. It was a long day, but it was a good day. Cooper S Traveller Ian, he had some of his artwork go up on the auction, as well as Sam. Mm. So really big congratulations to those two guys for doing that and getting it on board. It was just great to see everyone and support everyone. So it was fantastic.
Yeah, Bingley Hall looks so cool. Claire was like, "What is this?" And I was like, "Freaking mini show." She's like, "What?" It's like,
yeah. I
mean,
mini
show, to be honest, dude. Like,
my second time that I've been to that show, and every time I've been, it hasn't disappointed. The auto jumble there is fantastic. It's not, you go to a lot of shows and you'll get a lot of shiny new parts, and you won't get a lot of like the old nitty gritty stuff. Whereas this show, it has the best of both. So you've got the car show side, you've got the auto jumble side, and you've also got, you know, companies like Mini Sport, Mini Mime, you name it, they're all there. Julie from Crafty, yeah. She was there Crafty, with man. Her really cool like caravan. It is so
love
cool.
That setup.
I love it. You can't miss it. So, it's fantastic.
So cool.
Yeah, no, it was good. I think you've definitely got to come over for it one year, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of things we need to come over for, as you for
definitely.
Us. So one of these days, one of these days. So... All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Go check us out on Instagram. Go follow Mountainy Classic as well. And don't forget, there is a discount code. I know a lot of you guys have been eyeing some steering wheels. Mini Life 10.
10% off. I mean, you can't argue.
Nope. Nope, can't do it. We appreciate the people over at Mountain Either. Good people. So go support them. Follow them. Give them a like. If you don't follow us on Instagram too, we do post a lot of behind the scenes stuff. We're trying to get better at posting more than just our clips. Sean puts a lot of artwork up there. It's cool stuff.
Check us out.
We have a Facebook page too. Usually if you don't do Instagram, you do Facebook, whatever. It's linked. Yeah, so majority of that stuff on Instagram goes to Facebook
we don't
as well.
Do is Twitter and currently, what's the app that Ollie was trying to get us on? TikTok.
Yeah, we ain't doing TikTok. We don't do TikTok dances. Nope. We can't. Let us know if you want to see Twitter or I guess it's called X.
Like Elon.
If you want to see X and or TikTok. TikTok will not be installed on my cell phone for various reasons. But if Sean wants to do TikTok dances, he can.
If any of our listeners want that, let us know, please. I'm going to be eating my words at this point, but yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good. All right. We've jibber jabbered for long enough here. All right.
Yeah.
I guess that's it. We should probably get better at ending, but I will catch you guys on the next one.
See you later.